So for the past few weeks, we've been seeing a lot of life burst in our communities, not just in church on Sundays, but actually throughout the week in our community groups and actually just in prayer meetings and things that we've been doing in the week. We've had baptisms. We've actually had some deliverance. We've had some demons prayed out. And there's been a real sense of life, a sense of God moving in these times. We can see the fruit of it is that people are being set free. People are experiencing God in a new way. And a lot of what we've sung tonight and in the prayer time before this has come out with this, it's a heart position that we first submit ourselves to Christ. And then he just says, man, with that submission, with that faith, I'm going to do some things. I'm going to work in your life and I'm going to bring you to a place of freedom. And I'll be able to show you who I am, not what I am. It's not a head knowledge. It's not a scriptural thing. It's just a relationship. It's a heart place. And in that we have, I just got in, I'll share that later. There's a couple of people who have experienced life this week and we've asked them to share some testimonies with us. And this is my absolute favorite time of church because I love preaching. For the guys who preach, I love it. I love learning about that. But this for me just hits home. Because it's a real heart issue. It's a life story. This isn't, hey, this is what a book says. This is what somebody else did. This is what I did. This is what I experienced. And it's very difficult to come against something that someone has done in Christ. Say, hey, this is my story. This is what Jesus did for me. And it's so powerful. So I'm going to ask those people who said, yes, I'm willing to share. Why don't you just come out to the front? Maybe just grab a seat here. And how we'll do this practically is I'll just hand the mic. I think, Steph, can you kick us off? I'll just hand the mic over, and then as they finish, we can just have the next person go up as you feel led so that it flows quite nicely. Go for it, Steph. You want to come up?
Yeah. Whoa, there's a lot of you. Okay, I'm just going to... Thanks, Trace. Okay, I'm just going to read what I felt to share because... Yeah, I'm just going to read it. On Sunday last week, I went up for prayer, not quite knowing what I was feeling. Just a whole bunch of stuff came to the surface while Brett was preaching. But all I know is I wanted freedom, however that looked. I was desperate for freedom. Last Sunday, I was set free from a spirit of abandonment and rejection, as well as a fear of man. And that's why I'm standing here. I'm just going to keep going. I can't even read this. Okay.
Got this.
Thanks. Okay. Whoa. Okay. I also decided to come out of agreement with a lot of lies that I've believed, a lot of thought patterns, and I chose to believe the truth. And with that comes repentance, because obviously it's years of believing the lies. And repenting for letting go of control, because... Yeah, obviously, believing those lies, you want to take control of everything. What I learned through that is that God is faithful to meet you where you're at, but not to leave you there. With this freedom comes a choice. We have a choice to trust Him. So you can resist it, or you can choose to allow Him to do the work that He needs to do in you. So I'm just going to leave you with this scripture. Deuteronomy 30:19-20 says, sorry, I need to blow my nose. Okay, hold this. Okay. Thank you. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, holding fast to Him, for He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So, there we go.
Yeah. Woo! Great. How are you?
Hey, guys. Just a bit of context for what happened leading up to the deliverance evening. So I'd been struggling at my job for like the last 4 or 5 months. Just a really negative environment. My boss kind of, I don't know, he was just very negive. And a lot of negative things kind of got placed on me. And basically like my whole almost 2 years of work time got called into question, which is completely unreasonable. But through that, something really bad came on me. Like it affected me quite deeply. And I didn't know about that. And at the deliverance evening, like we were praying through all the things. And slowly I was just getting this heaviness on me. Like this real heaviness that I couldn't really shake. And I was so thankful for Francois and Nikki that were with me, and they kind of prayed through some things with me. And through the prayer, we came to a thing where Nikki said I should say that my identity is in Christ. And for some reason, I physically couldn't say it. My throat was closed up and my mouth was dry, and I physically couldn't say it. And we just kept praying and praying and praying. And I was able to say it, amazingly. And that was really cool. And yeah. So there was definitely something of my identity in this job thing that was really like affected quite profoundly. And yeah, I was just thankful to God that in that prayer and in that time, something was broken off me and I can go into my new job. I've got a new job now. Yeah, that I can go into a new job just with this weight off me, and yeah, just going and doing my best and doing what God's called me to do. Yeah. Cool.
I'll go, it's fine. What, don't you want the mic? Okay, and I'll share. So, stand up, yeah. So, my beautiful wife and I, we have been trying for kids for 3-4 years now. And we've had some misfortune. We've lost 2 children. So we've had 2 miscarriages, my wife unfortunately. And it was a bit of a devil for us. But we've got faith and we're trusting that God will come through for us. About 2 weeks ago, we went on leave, which was a great time to get away. And I think just when you go on leave sometimes, maybe if I'm honest, I didn't push into God as much. I wasn't reading the word as much. I was taking walks on the beach with my wife, which is what you do when you go on leave. And when we came back to the meeting last Sunday, I think I was just maybe caught a little bit off guard because Brett shared this awesome word on blessings and curses. And so we were both sitting there, and then some of the stuff that Brett shared on really hit home for me. Well, for us, we discussed it amongst ourselves. We thought, well, let's look at some of the subjects. Some of them were like Freemasonry and the family, and that was one of the things that was highlighted to us, because on Red's side of the family, there's been Freemasonry, and on my side of the family, there's been Freemasonry. So we thought, well, maybe that's one of the reasons. And then all of a sudden, I started having these thoughts that maybe something that I'd done in my life before coming to God, all the sin, you know, all the bad stuff, I thought maybe for some reason, I was the problem. And I think maybe just a little bit of a lie came into my mind, you know. So I said to Marit, come, let's go up for prayer. So we came up and we chatted to Brett, and Brett prayed for us, and it was great. There was just, I think, bringing that into the light was good. Brett just brought a bit of correction to my thinking, and you know, so here we stand, and can I testify that God will give us children one day? It's in His will. If He does, great. If He doesn't, that's also okay. But I think the thing that is the testimony is that not to believe the lie. And I think there's been a freedom that I've had this week, just believing that, you know what, God, if you want us to have kids, we'll have kids. If not, hey, maybe we need to adopt, or maybe we need to have spiritual children in the house, or I don't know, whatever. There's a will and there's a way in God. So I think something broke open for us, but we're still positive. We're still trusting. We believe that one day we will have some beautiful arrows in our quiver. So yeah, so there you go.
Praise God. I don't really know how mics work. Is that okay? Is that how it works?
Closer. Oh, no. That sounds too loud. Okay, I just want to start by saying thank you to Jesus for his truth that ask and you'll receive. Okay, I'm not going to cry, though. Okay. So if you had to look at my life, you'd probably, from the outside, you'd probably think it's actually quite together. But in reality, I've been suffering with anxiety and stress for so many years that every night I would come home and open the fridge and drink 3 glasses of wine just to switch my brain off. And I've been doing that for quite a few years. My mom is an alcoholic, and it's so not something I wanted for my life or to model for my 15-year-old daughter. And every day I would get up and say, no, Lord, today I'm not going to drink. And by 4 o'clock I was providing reasons as to why it was okay and how stressful my day was to justify that thinking. And last year I had a cancer scare and I had a hysterectomy, and I thought, it's enough now, I need to get my life together. I'm not a weak person, I can do this. And I joined an exercise club, and the lady was awesome. She gave me a diet, which of course doesn't involve 3 glasses of wine a night, which I knew when I went there. But I figured I can do it because I can do this. I'm determined to be successful. I'm not going to end up like my mother. And of course, about 2 weeks in, there was just no ways. I just could not get a handle on this. So my brother had also struggled with addiction, and both to alcohol and cocaine, and he was at Clough Street Church. He'd been there actually for quite a few years. And I've seen such a change in his life. He is free of addiction. And he invited me there, and I went, and I met Iris. And Iris reached out to me and took my phone number and invited me on the Sunday here. And I must say, the love I felt since coming here, and I haven't been coming that long, but on the second week I came, I brought my addiction to the Lord and I laid it down and I told him, you have to help me now, please. And I begged him. And Marit and Tracy and Iris and Marily prayed for me that day. And I told them what I'd struggled with. And even though it was very embarrassing for me, because this was a secret I'd kept for so long, I told them anyway. And I figured, I'm here now, I'm not leaving, I'm just going to stay. So Marilee and Glenn invited me to their comm, and I've been in their comm every week. And we had a talk about accountability 1 week, and I thought, I need to speak to one of these godly ladies who knows so much more than me about what I'm struggling with. And I met Iris, and I had coffee with her, and I told her about my life, my struggle with depression and anxiety, my attempt at suicide 17 years ago. And she did not judge me. She encouraged me to press into the Lord. She encouraged me to tell Marilee. And Marilee arranged a prayer meeting for me with some ladies. And Marilee invited me to the deliverance. And I went to the deliverance with Stuart and his wife. And I was delivered of a lot of things, but that's too much to tell you about now. But I left there and I felt something was lighter. I remember singing in the car. And Marilee arranged the prayer meeting with Vanessa and Jazz and Iris and myself. And we prayed. We had like prayer meeting on steroids, but it was great. And I was delivered of the spirit of addiction and the spirit of rejection. And then they said, do you want to get baptized? And I said, yes, I want to get baptized. And I was baptized the next day in Adam and Vanessa's swimming pool by Iris and Marilee. But that's not the best part. The best part is I have no desire for alcohol at all. I haven't had any wine. I don't want to have any wine. It's unbelievable, something that I've struggled with and battled against, that has tortured me for so many years, has just vanished like it never happened. How is that even possible? I am so thankful to everybody here, but mostly to Jesus. And yeah, that's all I have to say.
Okay, I was given 3 hours, but I'll be gracious. I'll spare you the pain. For those of you that don't know, my name is Tandi. I'm so glad that Anton and his wife are here. You guys have so been on my heart. Sorry, I've just seen her face now. So God's been doing an amazing work in my life, and I'm not going to be all weepy and moany about it and cry. And it's not a testament against you, Lindy, or Steph. It's just that I really want to get through this strong and powerful, because I think there's something in that that's also Jesus. So a couple of weeks ago, it was, I had to write the date down because otherwise I'd forget, the 17th of March, my husband, the rock that he is, my Boaz, my kinsman's redeemer, was not here. And he was away in Pretoria with our daughter, Inigayo, who was playing tennis for province. And I came to church with our sons, Ndandukubawa and Judah. That morning, they did not want to come to church because we're having the joint service and Stuart was preaching. As one does, I did not read on the group that they were going to be doing deliverance. I just read that church is joint in the morning. Yay. Because God was trying to protect me from myself. Had I known, I probably wouldn't have come. So I came and I sat over there and I high-fived everyone on the way in. I was having a glorious day. I mentioned to get my sons here. Sitting there, Stuart starts to talk and he's talking. And I'm like, yeah, near this guy. This is not happening. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go because Ndangaba was not feeling too great anyway. So I'm going to leave now. And the next sentence that comes out of his mouth is that, and often people just have this counter spirit and they just want to leave and they get up and they leave the meeting. So now I'm like, okay, I'm not that guy because there's nothing wrong here. So I'm going to stay. I was sitting there where Vanessa's sitting. It's hectic. And on my right was Lizette Abrams and Enrico. And I have been walking in accountability with Lizette for years. And on the other side of me was Joy and Craig. And I've been walking with Joy and Craig for many, many years. And so now I'm like, okay, I'm going to stick this thing out and I'm going to be faithful. And I'm sitting there and he's talking about how healing happens in the body and how you pray for healing and people get healed from many things. And he's like talking, I'm like, yes, I'm going to get my healing today because I've been struggling with my health. I was diagnosed last year with fibromyalgia and there's all kinds of stuff happening in my body. My blood pressure is like skyrocketing one moment and I have to be in hospital. Then next moment it's super low and yet I'm on medication and just junk, okay? And pain and junk. And I'm like, yes, today I'm going to get my healing. So I'm sticking it out. And then he says, sometimes when you're praying for someone, the pain that you're praying for initially starts to move around the body. And that's when you know that there's a demonic presence. I'm like, yeah, dinia. Because that happens, and I'm not about this life. This guy cannot be saying these things. It's chilled. I'm going to get my healing today. There's no demon here. I'm okay. Then he says, sometimes, like with demons, it's like a spirit of unforgiveness. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'm so glad I dealt with my stuff. I have no unforgiveness. And I'm constantly talking to myself the entire preach. And then he makes an example about unforgiveness towards your mother-in-law. And now I start feeling like this is not cool. Like that he could have chosen any other example, not that one. That's just rude. And he continues with this thing and he's done. And then he says, okay, so you guys are going to pair up. Because now I've decided if he calls up for time for prayer and healing, I'm going to come up to the front, not, and I'm going to leave. So not going to happen because I don't want to manifest in front of people. And then, actually, I wouldn't be manifesting. The demon would be manifesting, but you know what I'm saying. So then, long story short, he says we must pair up and we must pray for people. So I decide in that moment, great, I'm going to go and pray for someone on the other side of the room. So I'm getting up and I'm going and I'm encountered by Lizette. And Lizette says, my friend. And she sits down next to me and she says, we have to deal with this unforgiveness thing. And I'm like, what unforgiveness? And true as the Lord would have it, she starts to speak to me about forgiving my mother-in-law and my countenance changes. and I steer my body away from her. I was sitting there and she came to sit next to me and I started looking out that way. Then my hands clenched up and I couldn't open my hands. And they kept saying, you have to open your hands. And I couldn't open my hands. And then my jaw started to lock. And it was like my body was going on lockdown. Like I couldn't get myself to do the things that I knew that I was supposed to do. And then eventually they helped me to leave the room. And my entire right side of my body has gone lame. Like it's sore, but it's like I can't move the right side of my body. And I couldn't get up the stairs. And then they eventually got me into the fruit bowl. Shark tank. Yeah, upstairs there's a shark tank. And I get in there, and as I get in there, there's an elder, and his name is Kevin, and he's talking to me, and he's like, Tandy, you need to open your eyes. And I couldn't open my eyes. And he says, the spirit is lying to you. You're going to open your eyes. And that was the beginning of the stuff. It's a long process. I'm not going to talk through all of it. I mentioned to my comm some of the scariest moments was when they recognized the spirit of depression in me. And they said, spirit of depression, come out, spirit of depression, come out. And then they said, okay, Tandy, you need to say, like, the spirit's got to loose you. You've got to say, let go of me in Jesus' name, spirit of depression. And I couldn't speak. I was like, raw, raw, raw. And I knew what I wanted to say, but it was locked, like my jaw locked, my body locked. I was freaking out, and I kept, I had my right hand open and I was beating my body because I was trying to get the words to come out because I know what I want to say, but I wasn't physically able to say what I wanted to say and stand with God and against this thing. Eventually I was able to say it, and then they were praying, and then I started to vomit. And I vomited like a weird red liquid. It was just weird because I didn't eat anything red that day. I'd only had a cup like of coffee like early in the morning. It was weird. It was very weird. And that freaked me out. But here's the thing. That day I got delivered from the spirit of fear, which had kept me up at night. Spirit of deaf, dumb, and mute, where I see things and I want to say things. I want to speak out. And it keeps locking me in, and I'm unable to speak out, and I'm unable to speak the truth. The spirit of deceit and the lying spirit, where I would lie to be okay. So, how are you doing? Good. Good. I'm okay. I'm great. I'm good. Family's good. We're good. And last year, it nearly cost me my marriage to be good because I wasn't good. And I eventually had to reach out. Spirit of infirmity. The mocking spirit, and that's the spirit that comes in and kind of like tells me that I'm not good enough, or I'll be like, okay, I'm going to exercise today, and it says, seriously, how fat are you? And it's like obviously always constantly talking to myself. And then unforgiveness was the last thing that they actually were able to speak into and pray and let it go, and like for it to be released out of me. And that was a very hard one for me because it's been a long journey with my mother-in-law, and it's a long journey. It's a long journey, long. And I thought I'd forgiven her many a time, and apparently I had not, and it had actually overtaken my body. Since then, God has just been so gracious because I'm learning to take captive those thoughts, like literally, like fangala. As they come, I just fang them, and I'm going, Jesus, that's not you. I know your voice, and that's not your voice. And I'm able to speak against those things, and I'm still walking in accountability and praying things out. And this morning even, I woke up and I had a headache and my ankle was sore, and I'm taking this authority of the believer thing seriously, and I'm praying against this right side of my body saying, you're not going to take me captive. I'm not going to not go and share my testimony and what God has done. Be overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. And I'm continually still healing. I know that I'm not fully healed. There's no such a thing until we get into heaven where there's lots of electric guitars and drums. Amen. Praise Jesus. There's no harps there. So I am so grateful for what God has done. I'm grateful for the body of believers. I'm grateful for his word that is truth. And I'm grateful for those that don't stop praying for me and continue to stay on their knees. Amen.
So it seems like I've had a relatively good 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks have been fantastic. And seemingly uneventful Sundays. So, I mean, the last couple of Sundays with the Greers here and the prayers and that have been quite eventful, and I've heard a lot about it. And only when... I need many. Thank you. So, when you come to church and people know you this well,
I feel like I belong, so thanks, Trev. That's just good. And then when you have the sweet music in the background, it just pushes you a little bit further. But that's 24/7. I get that all the time, so I'm getting used to it. Only when I came here, I actually realized, that this last 2 weeks have been incredibly good at work, and circumstances haven't been good at work. We've had a protest action, like a strike, like a massive project that looks like it might stop or it might continue, and there's a lot of stress at work. And for the last couple of years, I've been stressed at work, but I think it's circumstantial. And I don't feel like that it was necessarily something that was holding me down or you know, causing major issues with me, but I constantly had this hollow feeling in my stomach, and it was exacerbated by, you know, looking after your family and looking after your kids and, you know how you're going to provide for your children. And then two Sundays ago, with the Greers here, I was praying with a friend, and before I even mentioned that, Stuart said, okay, like, pick something, or what do you want to pray about? Ask God, you know, there's something you want to pray about. And I said to him, you know, I think I've got a fear in me. I think it's circumstantial, but let's just pray into it, because it might be more than that. And he nodded and said, yeah, I felt that for you as well. So anyway, just pray. Didn't feel any goosebumps, didn't feel any heat, didn't feel anything. I didn't want to run out of the church. I was quite comfortable here. Didn't think much about it. Prayed for him. And then went to work the next day and enjoyed it almost. Monday night, spent some family time. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, came to church on Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, now we're here like 2 or 3 weeks later. And I realized I haven't been anxious in 2 weeks. So I don't feel like it had a grip on me, but I know that God wants to set us all free from the big things that are really holding us back in bondage that we know about, and those little things that we don't even know about. I know there's a scripture about cast off all those things that so easily snare and entangle you, and I know talking about sin, but God wants us to be free in all things. So I know that I could so easily be sitting there and saying, oh yeah, okay, the guys have like issues with substance abuse or whatever, and it's like, oh, no. But there are things in our lives that hold us back, be it fear of man, be it so many things, or even scared to step into those things that you know God has called you into, be it kids' church, worship, teaching, preaching. And you might have a preaching gift, but you feel that it's not really for me, and you're not putting time in, you're not spending time in the Word, you're not spending time with God developing that thing. All those things I believe God wants to set you free from. So like me, it wasn't a blatantly obvious thing. It was something that I could live with, and I think most of us struggle with a little bit of fear and angst because of circumstances. But God's bigger than those circumstances. He wants us to step out of those circumstances and look to Him as the provider, not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries for itself, and just live for Him. And I believe that as we allow Him to work in our lives, and as we are vulnerable with our friends and we say, hey, here's something, and pray. It was effortless. I mean, that's why I didn't even think about it. When Brett said, hey, let's share some testimonies, I didn't think about a testimony because it was so effortless, because that's how powerful God is. He's bigger than circumstances, and He'll just set you free just like that. So if you are struggling in any area, bring it to the Father, and I know that He can set you free.
So I just want to wrap up this section and just try to join some dots for us as we're moving forward. For the last 2 months, the Lord has been really just speaking about our hearts and the way we position our hearts towards Him. And I think because we're starting to do that, He's starting to break into lives, from being free from alcoholism for many years to the little things and to everything in between. And the cool thing about our God is He's massive, He's gigantic, He created everything that we know, everything we see, everything we can't see. But not only that, He sustains everything as well. And so He's the creator, sustainer, and as big as He is, He wants a personal relationship with every single one of us on the planet. He does. He wants us to be free from the stuff that kills us, and there's so much stuff killing us. So much. And just even these five people sharing like this is a testimony that our God is alive. and he is active. And I know that there's so many more. We could spend the whole night just with Anya, with what God is doing in us and how he's changing us. And even as I preached last week on blessings and curses and how the devil comes in and tries to steal from us, whether it's through family lines or through generations or through us opening our hearts to the evil one, I just wanted to remind us of the four points that I ended with. And last week, we kind of focused on three of them. It was recognize. And for everyone that came up here to testify, they recognized there was a problem. Even Tundi, halfway through that service. Where did you go, Tundi? Oh, yeah, there you are. I thought you were sitting on that side. But anyways, she recognized halfway, even though it wasn't comfortable, she recognized something was wrong. And we spoke about repentance, which is turning away from that thing. So when you're recognizing something's wrong, repentance is doing the opposite. It's, God, I don't want this demon in my life anymore. I don't want these lies to be a part of me anymore. I want to return away. I want to walk in this direction where we are going, that direction. I also spoke about renouncing that thing. So it's getting it out of our lives. And like literally most of this last week and the week before that, we had prayer sessions most nights. where people were renouncing, they were giving up, they were giving their lives back to the Lord. And they can stand up here going, oh, my God is alive, he's active, he's working in our lives. And the last point that I mentioned last week was resisting, or resistance. And we didn't really get into that because the resisting is what they've done this whole week, and they'll continue to resist the week coming and the month coming and the years. And in a sense, until we meet Jesus face to face, until our bodies give up and we meet with him in heaven one day, we'll be resisting. Could you put James 4:7-8 up for me, please? The Bible says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. And can I just say that every single one that testified today, they've done that and they're doing it better. and they're probably going to mess up in the future and they're probably not going to get it right, but that's part of growing up in Christ. That's they submitted themselves to the Lord. And as the more we submit ourselves to the Lord, we resist the devil. And the word says, and he'll flee from us. And there's something of, as we give ourselves to the Lord and as we give our rights over to him, it's a scary thing. The devil can't have anything in our lives anymore. You see, the devil is like a roaring lion, the Bible says, looking for flesh to devour. And the more we kill our flesh, the more we kill the sin. There's a kid running out the door. There's their parent with them. There's a road. Just go check. I think I saw a child running towards the car. Okay, sure. That freaked me out. We got it because there's a road right there. Anyways, the more we submit ourselves to the Lord, and that's a really scary thing, to come to God and say, I give you everything. I give you my fears. I give you my wants. I give you my dreams. That's a scary place to be. But it's the best place to be, because then we can resist the devil, because the devil tries to come and steal, kill, and destroy. Always. Resisting is good. And then verse 8, it says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And every single one that didn't share, as we're drawing near to the Lord, he's drawing near to us and we finally break through. I've been a pastor for 18 years now, and there's not many times we see someone like Steph getting so much breakthrough in the Lord. It's normally years and years, and you don't even see a thing. Like in the last 6 months, God's just, almost every Sunday, every Wednesday, just God is releasing you of different things. It's just an amazing thing to see where I came in a year ago, where Steph was almost wanting to leave almost the church, to just a beautiful thing. And I think it's because, and I know it's because she's drawing near to the Lord, and the Lord is drawing near to her. And with that comes clean hands, purified hearts, and not double-mindedness, but single-mindedness. My Lord is and is doing. Does it make sense? And so with resistance, and I want to just talk about it a little bit, because we all got to resist the devil. Yesterday, I did the MP challenge for the first time with Jordy and some of the guys. It was really cool. And I met a guy named Monet, which I ran with most of the time. I had flu in the week, so I didn't want to overexert myself, and I had heart palpitations last night, so maybe I did a little bit. So I was a bit worried last night. I was like, bleh, 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 you know, anyways. And Monet is like a big guy, like 120 kg, big guy, like, man. And that guy just pushed through, like, like here's my hero out of the whole day. Like at 5Ks, because I had a watch and I was like, Monet, I can check. We're running up this hill. We just done this up and over under thing. Shame. I was battling. I didn't know how much. He had 40 kgs on me, man. I think he was really battling. And I just said to him, Monet, we 5Ks in. We're halfway, dude. We can do this thing, you know. And I could check. Okay, I'm going to do this thing. And I thought, that's resistance. That's like. And he did it. I was like, high fived afterwards. It was just so cute to see Monet. And I was pumped for him. You know what I mean? Like, that was pumped for me that I survived as well. And he just resisted. Now I could check his hips were paining, his knee gave in. He was breathing heavily. I thought he was gonna have a heart attack. I was like, dude, just run slower, then we should die on me, you know. And I could just check he just resisted. He just pushed against how his body was feeling, and he really just did an amazing thing. And I think in the spiritual realm, we gotta resist the devil. Devil comes, we need to know his ways. Can you put 1 Peter 5 verses, what's it, 6 up, please? And so, was it that one? The one I gave you. There we go. So the first point I want to quickly make as I start ending here is humbling yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time you may be exalted. I think the first thing about drawing near to the Lord, the first thing about resisting the devil and pushing him away so that we can all have testimony is just humbling ourselves before the Lord. Normally in a situation when they train us to resist someone, normally just go like, sorry, what do you want? Are you cowering? It's this humility. You want to take the guy by surprise. You don't want to show that you have skills or you have power. It's that same thing. It's when you humble yourself, you make yourself come under. It's a wonderful thing. And as we humble ourselves to the Lord, and as we give our hearts to him, and as we give our lives over to him, we'll be exalted one day. And we can take the devil and we can push him aside, and we can trick him with his own game in a sense. Can you put up, was it verse 7, 8? The second thing I want to just highlight is we've got to be humble. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to put ourselves at the Lord's feet. We need to be sober-minded and watchful. And that's very important when it comes to resisting things. Normally, if we get taken by surprise, it's worse for us, right? And so I've even taken courses to try to body profile. So I can look in at anywhere I go, and I know the guys that are uncomfortable, the guys that shouldn't be there, the guys that are a little bit angry, because I can read the body language. And so it's the same with our spiritual life. We need to be sober-minded. We need to be alert. And the wonderful thing about your testimony is you were once controlled by substance that didn't allow you to connect with the Lord, and now you're sober-minded. You're alert. You can see. It's a beautiful picture. And because I don't want to be controlled by anything but Jesus, because he only wants the good for me. Be watchful. Go back. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And so can I say this? The devil is wanting to kill us. He's looking. He's going, where can I see flesh? Where can I see unforgiveness? Where can I see someone that's prideful? They're not humble in themselves. Because God opposes the pride. And he's looking every day when we wake up. He's looking. Hey, where can I? I'm looking. And when he sees the flesh, he goes for it. And then we go, well, what's going on, God? You're not fair. And it's not actually that. It's just we're not positioning ourselves well to resist the devil and to have the Lord in our lives. And then lastly, and I'm going to end with the scripture. I think it's verse 9. Hey? It says, resist him firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering is being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And I want to just say this, and I want to end with this. Faith is such an important thing when it comes to drawing near to the Lord and resisting the devil. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. Without faith, and anything done outside of faith is actually sin. And so as we go into the week, as we go into the months, as we go into the year, and we want to continue to resist the devil and continue to push him out of our lives and not allow him to control us in any way, it's got to be on a faith basis. And one of the reasons why we wanted guys to give testimony is because if we hear these amazing stories, and if they can do it, and if God can do that in them, how much can God do in me? Yeah. And our faith is built up. And our trust for the Lord is built up. And our excitement and expectation is built up. Man, and when that happens, there's no stopping people that are full of Jesus and full of love. If that makes any sense. And so I want to pray for us, maybe as we end and as we close, that we will resist well. And that we will be aware that the devil is looking to come and to try to take our feet up from underneath us. And we can actually hate sin. And we can actually say, God, I mean, I don't want the devil to be have any part of my life. I want to stand strong. In Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God, and that's a whole nother preach, but it's talking about standing against the devil in that day. And so I just want to pray for us quick. I just want to pray that God will give us the faith to resist, to be humble, to continually every day give our lives to Him. And just that's a work of the Spirit. I can't make you do that. I'd love to, but I can't, you know. So let's just pray. And amazing. The Father, thank you for these amazing testimonies that we heard tonight. And even just to have fun beating up Robbie, it was quite cool. But Lord, I just want to pray that your Spirit will be upon every single one of us here tonight. Lord, some of us know you. Some of us might not know you. Some of us are angry towards you. Some of us might have known you at one stage in our lives and then have walked our own way. Well, Lord, I really just pray that the power of your Spirit that's been working in us as a congregation over the last couple of months, Lord, and years, Lord, that Spirit, your Spirit, might rest on every single one of us in this place tonight. Lord, that your love and your grace and your mercy and your salvation and your kindness and your power to live this life in a way that glorifies you, not to damage us, will just flow in our hearts tonight. As you're sitting there, and as you've witnessed people giving testimony of some amazing things, actually, could I ask you to ask yourself, like, God, where am I with you? Do you know this God that I serve? The one that can give you life into eternity, a God that can heal, a God that can cure you of sickness and addiction and the demonic presence in your life. Our God is an amazing, life-giving God. And the way we position ourselves tonight will determine if we can walk out of this place being able to resist the things of the world and resist what the devil wants to do and how he wants to come and kill, steal, and destroy. So I just wanted you to think about that for a bit and just ask Adam just to close off the meeting for me.
We've been hearing about people being set free, and that verse that Brett just read from James, the starting point for the freedom is that we submit ourselves to God. And then we can resist the devil. And we saw that dramatic representation of what it means to resist. And for many of us in our lives, we know there's things we're experiencing that we need to be able to resist. We need that power to resist. Either just habits that we want to break, maybe addictions, maybe cycles of fear, actually external things that are coming on us. It's not something we do, but circumstance just pushes us in a certain direction. We want to resist, but it all begins with submit yourself to God. And God is the one who made that possible. We on our own can't access God. We're not holy enough. We're not good enough. And none of us is able to access God on our own. But He made a plan so that we can access him, so that he actually could bring himself to us instead of us fighting to get to him. And he sent Jesus. And we're coming up to Easter, and we remember at Easter the time that Jesus died. That was the whole plan of God, him coming to die, because we deserve death. We're just bad. You know, we might think we're good, but we're not. We might think we're awesome. Some of us are quite awesome, but we're not awesome enough to impress God, you know? And so on our own, we can't please God. On our own, we can't get to God. And that's because of because God is just so holy, just so different to us, so good. But he sent his son Jesus to die for us. We deserve death. We deserve punishment. Actually, a lot of the bad things happen in our life, we kind of deserve it. But he said, I don't want that to be your experience. I don't want that to be your life. What I want is for you to be set free. And so he took all of that bad stuff and he put it on Jesus. And when Jesus died 2,000 years ago on that cross, he was taking on him not just the bad things you've done, but also the bad things that have been done to you. Bad experiences you've had, words that have been spoken over you, abuse that's happened to you, whatever it is. So bad things that you hoped to resist, that you weren't able to resist. You, in yourself, you didn't have the power. And he took all of that and he put it on Jesus. And Jesus died and he took that stuff into the grave. But the good news is he then rose again. And when he rose again, he came out of the grave, but all that stuff stayed in the grave, stayed dead. And he creates an opportunity for us to come and to say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to accept that substitution that took place where all my junk was put on you. I'll take that. That's what this is about. When we talk about giving our lives to Jesus, we're actually also talking about taking his life to us. That all the junk from our lives is put onto Jesus. And all the goodness and all the blessing of his life is put onto us. And it doesn't always mean that nothing bad will ever happen again. But what it means is when we face things, we have the power and the skill because of his spirit within us to resist. And we're able to say no to the things that come against us. And we're able to overcome because of him in us. And so as I say, it all starts with submitting to God. And how do we do that? We say, Father, I know that I can't do this on my own. I need you to help me. I need that substitution. I need Jesus to take my junk and give me his goodness. And if you want to do that this evening, I would love to pray with you. I would love the opportunity to pray with you a simple prayer. It would start you on a journey where you'd learn to experience relationship with God so that you'd be able to resist those things that are going to mess up your life. And you would be able to embrace his life and live a life that pleases him. So I'd love us just to close our eyes. I don't want to put anyone on the spot. That's not my purpose here. But you've heard this evening the freedom that can come from submitting your life to Jesus. You've heard the kind of breakthroughs that people had in their health, in their mental health, in their lives, even in their work. And so if you're here this evening, you're saying, that's me. I want to submit my life to Jesus. I want that substitution where he takes my junk and all his goodness comes to me. And I'd love you just to